What I do here is about as easy and fun as a job in journalism gets. Actual day-to-day hard journalism is not glamorous in the least. It's making lots and lots of phone calls to strangers and people who don't want to talk to you or don't want to tell you the truth. It's reading and deciphering endless boring documents. It's working on stories that don't pan out, or when they do, usually nobody much pays attention, which makes the movie Spotlight all the more remarkable. It's about how the Boston Globe's investigative team 15 years ago uncovered staggeringly pervasive sexual abuse of children by Roman Catholic priests in Boston, and its cover-up by the church. And those stories, of course, prompted the rolling discovery that this was a pervasive, long-running horror show all over the world.
We need to focus on the institution, not the individual priests. Practice and policy. Show me the church manipulated the system so that these guys wouldn't have to face charges. Show me they put those same priests back into parishes time and time again. Show me this was systemic, that it came from the top down.
That's Liev Schreiber as Marty Baron, the Boston Globe editor at the time. Tom McCarthy wrote the screenplay and directed the film. It is up for 6 Academy Awards, including Best Original Screenplay and Best Director. And he is here with me now, Tom McCarthy. Congratulations. Your cup runneth over, as a priest might say.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
As I said before, I loved how you really showed the tedium of real journalism. But did you ever worry and stop and think, oh my gosh, I've got to maintain the entertainment value and the drama. I can't just keep showing the reporters looking through lists of priests' names.
Of course. I worried about it all the time. I mean, you're right. We completely committed to the craft of journalism in some ways, warts and all, and boring and tedium and all. And that was one of the gambles of this movie. We committed to process. We said, let's show all the little bits that add up to something truly extraordinary in terms of the result of this investigation. And I think early on, Josh and I, spending so much time with the reporters, felt in fact, that we were conducting our own investigation into their investigation.
Yeah. Josh Singer, your co-writer.
Yeah. And we committed to that. And it certainly informed our writing every step of the way. And, you know, we were probably even guilty of geeking out a little bit on all the little details of the work that they do.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you see the film and you kind of get hooked on that, which audience seems to be doing, you appreciate that much more their work and their efforts.
Yeah. And you talked to them, people who had been victimized.
Yeah, specifically two of them that we sat with were Phil Saviano and Joe Crowley, both depicted in the film, and just extraordinary gentlemen who have really turned their lives around and become activists in the fact that this never happens again. Like they're really, you know, you only have to really sit with one survivor to understand the impact of this crime and how this is something that these men and women, in some cases, carry with them for the rest of their lives.
And so was that, this director's coming in, you sit down with him for an hour, good, nice talking to you. What was that? What were those experiences
like? No. I mean, I still email with both these gentlemen. So once you develop a relationship, much like the reporters, it continues. And their back and forth was incredibly informative in putting the screenplay together.
Really?
Putting the language.
So before you wrote the screenplay, it wasn't just, I want to meet this guy to see what he's like.
No, it was sit down. It was interview, record it. Josh and I recorded every interview we sat. We would sit back with those tapes and kind of review them for language. And then we would let them read scenes. We let Phil Saviano read some of the scenes and actually give us input on some of the language. I mean, this is a man that's been, you know, studying this now, and not just having survived it, but has been living and studying it for 25, 30 years. So his input was invaluable.
Another aspect of journalism that you get very right, it's not something the movie says, but is true in my experience over years being around journalism. Investigative journalists really are a different species, and they really are sometimes over-invested in what they're certain is true. The Mark Ruffalo character is like some of those guys I've known, which is to say they sometimes have a bit of a screw loose. Not that real guy he plays did, but do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. It's funny. As a filmmaker, I collaborate with a host of different artists, right? And I will say, one day it occurred to me that journalists in some way remind me of musicians. They just beat to their own drum. They do their own thing and they do it their way. And, you know, I'm not terribly musical, so I have to figure out a way to communicate with musicians, especially when I'm scoring a film, obviously. And I found the same way with journalists, especially investigative journalists. Yes. They're their own breed. And it's weird. They're incredibly dynamic people. They're very serious people. And they're also, you know, because they were the sort of subject of our investigation, they're sometimes very difficult to penetrate, to get to know. They do not like being in that seat. They like asking the questions. So,
and keeping their cards close to their vest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to play a clip, which is a heated discussion between Boston Globe reporter Mike Resendiz, played by Mark Ruffalo, and Michael Keaton's character, his boss, Robbie Robinson. They're discussing how to handle the documents that apparently demonstrate the church and cardinal law had covered up these years of sex abuse.
If we don't rush to print, somebody else is going to find these letters and butcher the story. Joe Quimby from the Herald was at the freaking courthouse.
Mike.
What? Why are we hesitating? Barron told us to get law. This is law.
Barron told us to get the system. We need the full scope. That's the only thing that will put an end to this.
Then let's take it up to Ben. Let him decide.
We'll take it to Ben when I say it's time.
It's time, Robbie. It's time. They knew, and they let it happen. Two kids. Okay? It could have been you. It could have been me. It could have been any of us. We gotta nail these scumbags. We gotta show people that nobody can get away with this. Not a priest or a cardinal or a freaking pope.
That was Mark Ruffalo and Michael Keaton in Spotlight. Now, journalists seldom give that aria. Or if they do, they don't last long in their newsrooms. Did you worry like, oh, this is just too much, this is too dramatic in the melodramatic sense?
Well, I always worry about just about everything. As a director, it's part of my job description. I will say this. That is probably the one blow up in the movie. It happens about three quarters of the way in the movie, and it happens when the tension has built quite a bit. So it felt at that point like it was time for release. And it's not unlike Mike Resendiz to get very fiery and overstep, and he'll be the first to tell you that. And this also comes at a moment where they discovered these 14 documents that were virtually plucked from the Archdiocese file cabinets, which told them everything they needed to know.
Right.
When you read these letters from parishioners to the cardinal, it is absolutely beyond belief. It is heartbreaking. It is tragic. And this felt like the moment to express that, knowing that these guys, specifically Mike and Robbie, banged heads quite a bit. It's just part of the job. It's part of a very, I think, successful collaboration, to be quite honest. So in this moment, that's what we were focusing on as filmmakers. I will say, I think what's really important about this scene is what Robbie's saying. Yes, we could go with this. We could, but we're going to be patient. We're going to get the whole story. And I think that's what made this story so absolutely effective, ultimately, was that they had the patience not to rush this to press. And there's many instances along the way they could have. I think a lesser paper, lesser editor.
The Boston Herald, for
would have. The Herald absolutely would have. But I think, you know, that's an important element. And, you know, specifically now in this 24-hour news cycle, I mean, things are on, you know, something's reported all the time and then retracted.
Right.
All the time. What happens? It loses effectiveness.
Yeah.
And they were so patient, and this story was so effective as a result.
Right. It has pretty heroic heroes. We heard the Mark Ruffalo speech earlier. It has all this old-fashioned shoe leather reporting. It has no sex, I don't think. Mm. It has no car chases. It has no violence. It has no CGI. And justice triumphs. And cinematically, it's very linear and straightforward. Did you envision it as a kind of plain old-fashioned movie?
Yeah. Look, I think whenever I take on a film, the style in which I direct it, write and direct it, is representative of the film itself, of the content.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
here
yeah,
we're
yeah.
talking about journalism. It's yeah. It ain't flashy. It ain't sexy.
Right.
It gets to the point, and when it's done well, it's incredibly impactful, and that's what we were shooting for.
Yeah.
And I think to suddenly impose a style that felt too manipulated or too...
I'm watching a movie.
Yeah, you'd be aware you watch a movie. We wanted people to feel like they were observing this,
yeah.
like they were living it. It's 2001. You're there. What do you do?
Right.
And so we favored that style, and it's a very austere approach to the material, and hopefully people don't even realize it. hopefully they're just caught up in it.
You played a journalist on The Wire who made up stories, this loathsome yuppie. And you don't seem to be a loathsome yuppie. What was your understanding of that character as you played him for a season? You must have found ways to be sympathetic.
You know, I have to credit David Simon with that and his team because, you know, I was actually editing The Visitor when they cast me in that. And I didn't have a lot of time.
The great Richard Jenkins film.
Yes. Nominated for an Oscar. Wonderful actor. Actually, it appears in Spotlight. He plays the voice of Richard Sipe. I called on him and he plays that, you know, that the ex-priest who keeps calling in and giving Mike information on the phone. That's the great Richard Jenkins.
Huh.
But I was editing The Visitor and I was kind of – David called me and said, I have this role for you if you're interested. And I said, yeah, sure. And he didn't tell me much about it. He just said, I just think it's right for you. Later on, I discover it's the most weaselly character in the history of the show.
Yes.
And maybe the most reviled.
Just as Mr. Quisling became a word, that guy could become the word for bad –
yeah.
Weasley journalist.
Yeah, I was it. I mean, you know, for years after I would go to do press for any of my movies or walk through a newspaper and people would just be glaring at me. People really don't like me. But what a great show. And, you know, that just unfolded. And what David kept telling me along the way was, you're not a bad guy. You're just ambitious. You just want to get to the top. You want to make an impact.
Right.
And it's a wonderful way to play it. It's a very smart direction.
Your last movie before Spotlight was The Cobbler, which critics didn't much like. Yeah. I haven't seen, so I can't speak to that. And I don't think that many people beyond the critics saw it, probably. Was that a terrible, terrible experience?
No, not at all.
Really?
Yeah, no. It's the first time I'm looking you directly in the eye. It's a fascinating experience. Is it hard? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always hard. It's hard to make a good movie. It was incredibly liberating in a way. I'd made three movies that were very critically, very well received.
Yes.
Station Agent,
Visitor, and did okay. I looked up there. They probably all broke even.
By all accounts, very good.
Yes.
All good. And then I made The Cobbler, which was very different than those movies. And you're right. The critics went after it early on in a way that felt... felt a little bit like they're all on the bandwagon.
Well, a lot of pent-up anti-Adam Sandler feeling.
They really don't like Adam, which is evident and unfortunate because I don't know a nicer, more generous, hardworking actor than Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And I would work with him again in a flash. That said, you know, it's a really interesting thing to go through. I was actually in pre-production for Spotlight when that was all playing out at the Toronto Film Festival, and I thought, well, if this is the worst of it, I just have to keep telling stories and take away what I can, but that's why I wouldn't categorize that as a bad experience, but a really fascinating, informative one.
Are you done acting?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope my agent's listening to this and she's feeling the heat.
Really? Why?
I love acting.
Sure.
I started doing that. It was my entree into all this. Look, if you told me, you know, when I was 20 that I'd be an actor for a profession, I would have laughed in your face. The fact that now I've not only had this acting career, but I'm able to make movies, I feel like the luckiest guy on the planet. It's a great, great job. There's something about acting that's just fun. And it provides me the opportunity to collaborate with other directors, other writers, not only to watch them work from the sidelines, but to be immersed in that work. And that's incredibly informative.
It must be easier, too.
You know, you're not burdened with as much when you're an actor, but it's a tricky job.
I'm not saying it's easy, but easier.
Yes. I know I'm going to hear from it now.
Well,
all my friends,
obviously true.
My friends are going to be so angry with me. But yeah, it's probably easier.
Tom McCarthy, thank you very much.
It's been fun chatting. Real pleasure.
Spotlight is up for 6 Academy Awards.